In our few minutes together tonight, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And we're going to look at this, read this particular psalm, and I'm just going to share some thoughts tonight concerning the clash of worldviews. The clash of worldviews that's painted in this six-verse psalm, very short. And I believe that God put it there in the front for a reason. It introduces the five books of Psalms, but it also sets the tone about the struggle of humanity. It's always a battle between two worldviews. You can say, oh, there's many, many worldviews. No, boil it down, there's two worldviews. There is the biblical worldview, and there is the secular, ungodly worldview. I want us to begin reading at verse 1. Blessed, or as one translated, the happiest of all men. That's a way to translate that word there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what?
Perish.
What do we have presented to us in this psalm? Two worldviews. Two worldviews. One of the righteous and one of the ungodly. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Father, we thank You so much for this very familiar passage of Scripture. It's not new to any of us here. But Lord, I pray that the message that's given here will help us to understand what we face in this world. Help us not to be naive. Help us not to be deceived by other ideas and philosophies, but help us to understand what things boil down to. And I pray that You might help us to learn what the psalmist had learned through this passage of Scripture as it was given to him by inspiration. We pray, Father, that You'd work in our hearts in a powerful way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you agree that the biblical worldview is completely contrasted with a secular worldview? Agree? All right. How many of you believe that the biblical worldview is contrasted from a religious worldview? All right. Religion and biblical worldview are not the same. And we need to understand that. It sides on the other because what does it do? It substitutes religion for the true and living God. There's something else that's put in there. But what we're finding today is a redefinition of biblical. What stands as biblical? Can I share with you a recent study that was done by George Barna, and it was about worldview, and it had some shocking things to tell about Christianity in America. And I want you to listen very carefully. Any objective social analysis would conclude that the United States faces its fair share of moral and spiritual problems. A new research study from Barna Group suggests that a large share of the nation's moral and spiritual challenges is directly attributable to an absence of a biblical worldview among Americans. Citing the findings from a just-completed national survey of 2,033 adults, that showed only 4% of adults have a biblical worldview as the basis of their decision-making, researcher George Barna described the outcome. Interesting factoid here before we go any further. He had to stop this survey to define what a biblical worldview was. Feedback was coming back. What do you mean by biblical worldview? Can you imagine that? What do you mean? So he had to define it, and this is what he did. For purposes of this research, a biblical worldview was defined as believing that absolute moral truths exist, that such truth is defined by the Scriptures, and firm belief in six specific religious views. This is how he defined it. Those views were that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and He still exists and rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned. Satan is real. A Christian has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people, and the Bible is accurate in all of its teachings. So he put that back out there again. He had to stop the survey, define what the research considered to be biblical worldview, because biblical now has been redefined in 1,000 different ways. Isn't that something? It was confusing. What do you mean by biblical worldview? So he put it in terms like that, went back, started the research again. The primary reason that people do not act like the Lord Jesus today is because they do not think like the Lord Jesus. This is George Barna speaking here. Behavior stems from what we think, our attitudes, beliefs, values, and opinions. Although most people own a Bible and know some of its content, our research found that most Americans have little idea how to integrate core biblical principles to form a unified and meaningful response to the challenges and opportunities of life. We don't know how to study the Word and receive the Word into our hearts and to process it in the core beliefs, decision-making, that's possible. Now, let's go on. Not just any worldview. The research indicated that everyone has a worldview, but relatively few people have a biblical worldview. Even among devoutly religious people, the survey discovered that only 9% of born-again Christians have such a perspective on life. Did you get that? 9%. The numbers were even lower among other religious classifications. For instance, Protestants, 7%. Adults who attend mainline Protestant churches, 2%. And Catholics, less than 0.5%. The denominations that produce the highest proportions of adults with a biblical worldview were non-denominational Protestant churches at a whopping 13%. Pentecostal churches, 10%. And Baptist churches, 8%. It was 1% below what the average was in the Baptist churches. This was shocking to George Barna. He was concerned. Is something wrong with our polling? What's going on with this? Among the most prevalent alternative worldviews was postmodernism, which seemed to be the dominant perspective among the youngest generations of Americans. Postmodernism is a cultural, intellectual, and artistic movement that emerged in the mid-20th century as a reaction to modernism. It is characterized by skepticism, subjectivism, and relativism, challenging the notions of objective truth and universal narratives. Postmodernism encompasses a variety of artistic and philosophical movements that mark a break from modernistic ideals, emphasizing the complexity of human experience and the role of ideology in shaping perceptions of reality. As a result of this study, George Barna is going to reinstitute this in 6 months because it was so stunning to him. These numbers are way too low, he thought. So he's going to go back and do that again. And it may show some different numbers, but what's stunning in this is the lack of understanding of what a biblical worldview is. It is a worldview shaped by whom? God Himself. God Himself. It's a worldview shaped by God Himself in His Word. And so God begins the book of Psalms. The five books of the Psalm begins in the first Psalm with this statement, "Blessed is the man." Or as one translator said about this particular Hebrew word, it could be translated, "the happiest of all men." What inspires this blessedness, this happiness? He is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He is not standing in the way of sinners. He is not sitting in the seat of the scornful. I want to put it in modern English here. I'm going to read to you a translation by Robert Alter, who translated this. This is what he says. "The happiest of men is the one who has not walked." Now get that. He has not walked in the past. He's not walked in the wicked's counsel, nor in the way of offenders has he stood, nor in the sessions of the scoffers has he sat. Now think about, there are two threes there. You have the first metaphor of the Psalms, and it has to do with the legs. Isn't it interesting? Walking, standing, and the bending of the legs, sitting. Do you see the progression? One is walking in the wicked counsel. The other one is standing. He stopped. He's not walking anymore. He's standing to contemplate. Then he moves to another position. This is the last. What's the last position? Sitting. What does that speak of? I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable now with this. Yeah. The rabbi would sit and he would instruct, right? He was seated. That's where he did his instruction. Now, I'm not going to get very far with this because I'm almost done here, but it is interesting to me that the three statements of the metaphor of walking, standing, sitting is followed with three descriptions of the ungodly worldview. It's described as the wicked's counsel. What is counsel? It's what they would say to do. Let me give you an instance of this from the sports world. Many of you may be aware that college sports changed radically last year. The introduction of what's called the NIL, which allows now college students to make money during their college years. Before, they got scholarships from the college. They were courted by several colleges. They were given scholarships to be able to go to that school and play sports and so forth. That was done away with. Now we have the NIL, which allows colleges basically to bid and offer more money to get better players to come. Now, this year is really the first full year of this. Thousands of athletes have entered back into what they call the portal. That's where they had a guaranteed place in a college to play, but they're leaving that for what? The portal where they can make more money. Number one reason, make more money. Number two reason, to play for a better team. Number three reason, now get this one, their friends told them to. Counsel. Their friends, their peers, told them to. Interesting factoid. Do you realize that any student that enters into the portal, 10% of them will not be on an NCAA team? Once they go into that portal, 10%. 100 out of 1,000 athletes will not play for an NCAA. I got that right off the NCAA website. As a warning. As a warning to college students, hey, you better be careful. Just because you want to make more money, you may not end up on a team. Period. But what was striking about this was the counsel that they received. It was from their friends. Their friends. Their friends did it. I'm going to do it. Now, understand something. In this description that we have here in verse 1, and we're going to stop here, we find there that there's a separation. Do you see it? This man is happy. He's blessed. Why? Because he has not gone with wrong counsel, a wrong way. And what's the third thing that's mentioned there? Do you see that? He's not getting information from a scorner, a scoffer. He's not sitting in the sessions of the scoffers, getting what they think. The happy man has separated himself from that. His joy, his happiness, his blessedness is found from not going over there. Now, folks, this is not negativism. This is reality from God. He's making a point. There is a worldview that is deadly. It's wrong. There is a worldview that comes from God in His Word. What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? We just finished up a study on the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials of wrath. It's interesting that the third horseman rides a black horse, and he causes economic collapse, and he's riding around. He has something in his hand. Anybody remember from Revelation? Set of scales. What are scales used for? Measuring. All right? Measuring. People have made decisions and choices about their finances. And we find out in that third seal with that black horse that people's decisions and choices and so forth like that from the counsel that they received, what happens? It collapses, it falls apart. We read about people buying a donkey's head for a day's wage. All right, why? What's happened? Now the rich, we're told in that passage, the rich, they still seem to do well. They're able to make it. But it's the poor and so forth that are trampled upon. Worldviews give counsel. They give counsel. The happiest of men says, I will not walk with that counsel. I will not stand in that way. I will not sit in the sessions, the discussions of the scorners. I'm going to go with God over here. This, folks, from what I'm seeing, from what this poll was saying, and we'll see what happens going forward, in this next one, because of the great debate about this, why are the numbers so low? It's because there's been a huge shift to which worldview? Not the biblical worldview, but a shift to another worldview. And we need to pray for each other. We all live with this every day. You see what's happening? We're accepting the ungodly. We're, in effect, sitting in the sessions of the scorners instead of standing up and saying, no, we're not going to have that. We're not going to put up with that. Instead of saying, well, that's just the way it is. People throw up that, that's just the way it is. For the child of God, we don't have to accept the way it is. Amen? We can stand up. Now, I can't change that person's heart. They're still going to have the heart that wants to curse and swear, but I can say, not here. We're not going to have that here. Because I represent a biblical worldview. They may have another worldview, but I represent, and you represent, we all represent a biblical worldview. It should have an impact in the people that we have connections with. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It should. That's what Psalm 1 is all about. And we're going to deal with the blessings of those that are the happiest of all men because they do not go there. They're separated. They're over here. The Bible paints that picture throughout the pages of Scripture. Oh, it's not that we don't evangelize them. That's not what it's saying. It's that we don't let their worldview impact our worldview and change us. May God give us wisdom and understanding. This is a wisdom psalm, by the way. Very first one, a wisdom psalm. May God instruct us in His Word. Father in heaven, I thank You for the passage of Scripture that You began the Psalms with, laying out very clearly, yes, there are two worldviews. The happiest of men does not affiliate, does not walk, stand, or sit with those that are promoting another worldview to discuss in sessions, but rather than understanding that we need to evangelize, we need to tell them of Christ so that their lives are changed and they can receive from God Almighty a biblical worldview. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and challenge us and instruct us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.